Notes from a Small Island, written by Bill Bryson and read by William Roberts.
Prologue. My first sight of England was on a foggy March night in 1973, when I arrived on the midnight ferry from Calais. For 20 minutes, the terminal area was a swarm with activity, as cars and lorries poured forth, customs people did their duties, and everyone made for the London Road. Then, abruptly, all was silence, and I wandered through sleeping, low-lit streets, threaded with fog, just like in a Bulldog Drummond movie. It was rather wonderful, having an English town all to myself. The only mildly dismaying thing was that all the hotels and guest houses appeared to be shut up for the night. I walked as far as the rail station, thinking I'd catch a train to London, but the station, too, was dark and shuttered. I was standing, wondering what to do, when I noticed a grey light of television filling an upstairs window of a guest house across the road. Hooray, I thought, someone awake! And I hastened across, planning humble apologies to the kindly owner for the lateness of my arrival, and imagining a cheery conversation, which included the line, "Oh, but I couldn't possibly ask you to feed me at this hour." "No, honestly. Well, if you're quite sure it's no trouble, then perhaps just a roast beef sandwich and a large dill pickle with perhaps some potato salad and a bottle of beer?" The front path was pitch dark, and in my eagerness and unfamiliarity with British doorways, I tripped on a step, crashing face first into the door and sending half a dozen empty milk bottles clattering. Almost immediately, the upstairs window opened. "Who's that?" came a sharp voice. I stepped back, rubbing my nose, and peered up at a silhouette with hair curlers. "Hello, I'm looking for a room," I said.
"We're shut."
"Oh, but what about my supper?"
"Try the Churchill, on the front."
"On the front of what?" I asked, but the window was already banging closed. The Churchill was sumptuous and well lit, and appeared ready to receive visitors. Through a window, I could see people in suits in a bar, looking elegant and suave, like characters from a Noel Coward play. I hesitated in the shadows, feeling like a street urchin. I was socially and sartorially ill-suited for such an establishment, and anyway, it was clearly beyond my meager budget. Only the previous day, I had handed over an exceptionally plump wad of colorful francs to a beady-eyed Picardy hotelier, in payment for one night in a lumpy bed and a plate of mysterious chasseurs containing the bones of assorted small animals, much of which had to be secreted away in a large napkin in order not to appear impolite, and had determined thenceforth to be more cautious with expenditures. So I turned reluctantly from the Churchill's beckoning warmth and trudged off into the darkness. Further along Marine Parade stood a shelter, open to the elements but roofed, and I decided that this was as good as I was going to get. With my backpack for a pillow, I lay down and drew my jacket tight around me. The bench was slatted and hard and studded with big round-headed bolts that made reclining and comfort an impossibility, doubtless their intention. I lay for a long time listening to the sea washing over the shingle below, and eventually dropped off to a long, cold night of mumbled dreams, in which I found myself being pursued over Arctic ice floes by a beady-eyed Frenchman with a catapult, a bag of bolts, and an uncanny aim, who thwacked me repeatedly in the buttocks and legs for stealing a linen napkin full of seepy food and leaving it at the back of a dresser drawer of my hotel room. I awoke with a gasp about 3, stiff all over and quivering from cold. The fog had gone. The air was now still and clear, and the sky was bright with stars. A beacon from the lighthouse at the far end of the breakwater swept endlessly over the sea. It was almost fetching, but I was far too cold to appreciate it. I dug shiveringly through my backpack and extracted every potentially warming item I could find. A flannel shirt, 2 sweaters, an extra pair of jeans. I used some woolen socks as mittens and put a pair of flannel boxer shorts on my head as a kind of desperate head warmer, then sank heavily back onto the bench and waited patiently for death's sweet kiss. Instead, I fell asleep.